This week's Sedra, Parshas Emor, once again sponsored by the Weinblatts, Ramat Beit Shemesh, Luri Nishmas Yaakov, Yitzhak Ben Chaim. The end of the Sedra, we have the Parsha of the Mekalo, the man who cursed Hashem, Rachman Litzlun. Says Vayetze ben Isha Yisraeli through ben Ish Mitzri. He was a man that he was the son of a Jewish woman, as the Torah says a little later, Shlomi Spastivri, and the son of a man. In other words, his mother was Jewish, his father was not. He was a Mitzri. And he went out and he cursed Hashem, as we said. Then Moshe took him and he put him away to find out. He asked Hashem what's his punishment, what punishment should be. There's a little bit of background. Who is this guy? Who is this blasphemer? So the Midrashim tell us that Shlomis Bastivri, she's her and her husband, another Mitzrayim during the time of slavery. And this Egyptian, he was like one of the taskmasters, whatever. So he came to get her husband to go to work. So after he left the house, the Egyptian went in and he disguised himself as the husband and he lived with her. So it said that she was, Rashi mentions over here, she was basically to blame because she was. She was called Shlomi's Bas Divri because she used to say Shalom to everybody, all the men, women, everybody, Shalom, Shalom. She was a Dabranis Bas Divri. She used to talk a lot, and that's what got her into trouble. Anyways, so this Mitzri lived with her, and after he left, he noticed that her husband noticed that he left. So he goes, uh-oh, her husband caught on. So that day, he wanted to kind of do away with the husband so he wouldn't snitch on him, you know. So that day at work, the taskmaster started hitting this yid, Shlomi Spativri's husband, you know, to try to get rid of him, started hitting him. And then who shows up on the scene? Moshe Rabbeinu. As you know, Parsha Shmos, right? Moshe goes out and he sees a Mitzri hitting a Yehudi, hitting a Jew. Who was this Yehudi? This was Shlomi Spativri's husband. And this Mitzri was trying to hit him, to kill him. So Moshe saw this, and what did he do? He mentioned Shema Mefurash and killed him. So this, however, with the relationship of Shlomi and this Mitzri, she had a child from that relationship, and that ended up being this Mekalel, which you can understand, because, you know, the boy's father was not such an, you know, didn't come from such great Yichus, you know. So, anyways, what happened? So this boy grew up, and like we said, now such great midos. He used to make fun of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the connection they say, they'll tell us from right here, at this point in the parsha, at the end, it's because it follows the parsha of Lecha Mishnah. Right? Because he made fun of when Moshe said Lecha Mishnah, you put on bacon on Friday, and then it goes on Shabbos, and stays till next Shabbos on the Shulchan. So you made fun of, oh, well, you old stale bread you're leaving on the table for Hashem, whatever. You made fun of Moshe. Meanwhile, it wasn't true because there was a nais that the bread stayed fresh the whole week. But he used to mock Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyways, he camped outside the camp. Okay, he wasn't amongst the tribes. One day he says, wakes up, you know, why should I be outside here? I'm going to go and sit with, put my tent down with Shev and Dan. Because his mother was Bas Divri from Dan. So he puts his tent where tribe of Dan is, and somebody comes up to one of the yidden there and says, well, what are you doing? So he says, excuse me, you can't be here. He says, why not? My mother's from Dan. He says, yeah, but he doesn't go after your mother, he goes after your father. And back and forth, so they said, fine, we're going to go to the Beis Din and let them decide. They go to the Beis Din, and the Beis Din sides with the Yid and says, yeah, you can't be there. It doesn't go after your mother. So it goes after your father. So he says, well, who was my father anyways? So he says, well, he's not alive anymore. It was an Egyptian. He says, an Egyptian? He's not alive anymore. He says, well, why? What happened? How did he die? Well, he said, Moshe Rabbeinu killed him. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu killed my father, the Mitzri? He says, yeah. He goes, how did he do that? Well, he pronounced the Shema Mefurash. He goes, what? So he said then he, that's when he was Makalo. He was Makalo, Shem Hashem, because when he heard that Moshe Rabbeinu killed his father, Shem first, so he used it and started cursing Hashem when after he heard that. So that's our wonderful Makalo over here. It's our wonderful Makalo. So, okay. Now let's go on. So Moshe Rabbeinu is not sure exactly what to do with this guy, what his punishment should be. So it says, Vayanichu b'mishmar. He put him in the, locked him away in jail. Lifrosh lahem al pi Hashem. Want to find out, what's his punishment going to be. So Rashi over here says, Vayanicheu livado. V'lo hinichu mekosheshimu. He locked him up by himself, put him in solitary confinement. He didn't put him together with the Mekoshesh. We're familiar with the Mekoshesh Eitzim, right? The one that went out on Shabbos and gathered the wood, etc., who deserved to get the death penalty. So even though it was at the same time, Moshe didn't put them together in the same cell. He put them separately. Sheshneihem hayu beperek echad, v'yadim hayu shemekoshesh b'misa. Okay, the difference was the Mekoshesh Moshe knew had to die. That was for sure. It's just that he wasn't sure which, because it says Michalaleha Mos Yumas, and he was Michal Shabbos, deserved to die. He just says, well, didn't know about Lo Purash Lehem Eze Misa. He didn't know what Misa. Lekach Neymar, ki Lo Purash Mayasalo. Aval Michalel, who Omer Lifrosh Lehem, Shalohaya Yodim im Chayav Misa im Lav. The difference was that the Michalel wasn't sure whether he was even Chayav Misa or not. That's not because he was such a tzaddik. It's because the Tosfos says that he was so bad for what he was doing, cursing Hashem, that it's not enough to get a kapara with Misa in this world. He deserves something worse. Okay. So we have these two. The Mekoshesh for sure is Chai of Misa, just not sure which. Where's he? Shiloh with his Chai of Misa. So they were not put together. Now, why? So what? Just because different, a little bit different, that we can't put them together in the same cell? So listen to this fascinating Sivsei Chachami. Says Sivsei Chachami, Zeh atam hu adale'el. Lama lo hinichum b'yachad. Why were they not together? U'mefaresh lefi sheyodim shezeh b'misa. Because we knew that Mekala has to be killed. The Mekoshes has to be killed. Aval Mekala lo yodim shehu b'misa. However, we didn't know if the Mekala deserves to die or not. V'shem lo yeh b'misa. Listen to this. And therefore, perhaps was in the end his din would be that he's not chayav misa. V'yitzta'er zeh shesavar shehoyel v'yoshvim yachad yemituhu. But what? And that in the end, let's say he wouldn't be chayav. So in the meantime, this poor guy, this Mekalel, would be bitzar. Why? Because when we put him together with, if we would have put him together with the Mekoshesh, he would say, "Uh oh, they put me together in the same cell with this guy who's chayav misa." They didn't know which Misa, but for sure he's Chayav. He goes, that means I'm probably also Chayav Misa. But really, maybe in the end, it's not going to turn out that way. Maybe in the end, he's not going to get Misa, because we weren't sure he was Chayav or not. So if he wasn't going to be Chayav Misa, it would have happened that he was upset for no reason. Because he thought he was going to be Chayav Misa, he was put with the Mekoshesh, but maybe in the end he wasn't, meaning he was upset for nothing. So we don't want to cause this guy, to be upset for nothing, in case he's not Chayav Misa. Because he's going to think he maybe is because being with the Mekoshesh, therefore we put him separate. So the Chiddushi Alev, he asks, he says, what's going on over here? That's the whole deal? So why don't we just tell him beforehand, look, we're putting it together with Mekoshesh, but don't think that just because we're putting you together, you're Chayav Misa. Not necessarily. Just tell him. That's what we're worried about. He's going to think he's to tell him. So you have to say that that's not going to help. Why? Because he might not believe you. He says, yeah, I'm not chayav. I know. You're probably saying that, make me feel good, but I probably am chayav. He might not believe us. And therefore, we have to keep him separate. But he says, so this is unbelievable. Like, who are we talking about here, first of all? Talking about here, not the grace of Sadi, because Mekalel, that maybe not chayav Misa, we say, because he's chayav something worse. This Rasha Marusha, okay, that we're putting together, and again, if he is Chayav Misa in the end, it doesn't bother us. But just also the suffix that maybe he is not going to be Chayav Misa. And maybe he's not going to believe us when we tell him that we're just putting him here, you know, but he might not be. He's not going to believe us that. And therefore, he's going to be Mitzar on the fake of that, and that he might have that Tsar to this Russia. We keep him separate. So he says, you see from here how careful you have to be Mitzar somebody. Now, we do go through all this for this Mikala. Right, just to not mitzar him, you know, feel bad, maybe for the wrong, just in case it's not deserving of it. And right, this makalo, so kol shekain to our fellow man who is a lot better than a makalo, how sensitive we have to be to somebody else's feelings. Of course, it's very matim for the time of Sfira when we're, you know, coming to conclusion at least of the Velus of the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva, they're not Lonagu Kabbat Zebazah, right? They're Pashat, of course, on their level. They didn't, didn't feel for their fellow man enough. It's interesting, Agav, though, the Aznaim LaTorah, he says also the other way. He says that also we're Choshesh to for the Mekalal's feelings, right? Why? Because maybe if the Mekalal would be let off, that he's not going to be killed, so the Mekoshes is going to be jealous. Right? He said, oh, the Mekalal got off, oh, and I have to die, oh, that lucky guy, he's not going to get killed, you know. And so, because we're also Choshes for the Mekoshes as well, he says, that in case the other one gets off, he shouldn't be jealous. But, again, the lesson being how careful we have to be for feelings of our friend. I'd like to share with you a story, it's an unbelievable maisa. Of course, a true story of Yair Weinstock brings it down. It says the story of Chaim Moshe Grudzinski. Famous, he was like, Chavis Chaim used to call him Klal Yisrael. He was, during the war, he was the, you know, gadol in Europe. And he had just one daughter. That's it, only one child, a daughter. And of course, they, you know, thought, you know, one day she's probably going to, you know, marry one of the Gedolim, you know, daughter of Chaim Moshe Grudzinski. But what happened? She was 12 years old, and she fell ill. And not Pashto, was like very sick. The doctors tried this, that, and it wasn't looking too good. So Chaim Moshe sent a messenger to go to the Chafetz Chaim. He was in Vilna. He said, Chafetz Chaim in Radin, to said he should daven for his daughter. You know, the power of the tefillah of Chafetz Chaim, La Pashu. So he sends a shaliach, goes to Radin, comes into the Chafetz Chaim, he was learning with his son at the time, and he tells him, he says, you got to help, you know, Chaim Ozer's daughter is very ill. So the Chafetz Chaim looks up, and he says, Hashem Yirachem. That's it. He puts his head down, back in the safe. So, the messenger said, told the Chafetz Chaim's, you know, son, you know, learn. He says, what do you mean? That's all your father? You know, Hashem Yirach. And he goes, yeah, I don't know. Like, we maybe didn't hear you, you know. So the father says, Abba, he says, the Chafetz Chaim, Chaim Ozer's daughter, Chaim Ozer, Klal Yisrael, his daughter is very ill. What do you? So he says, I know. He says, I heard. Hashem Yirach. That's not the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim used to use a fast for days and for people he never even knew, you know, to for the refuah. That's what? Chaim Moshe's daughter, Hashem Yirachem. That's it? This is something. So he pleaded with him. He says, Abba, no, he can't. That's it. You know, this is Chaim. So finally, the Chafetz Chaim looks up and he says, what? You think to mevatel a shidduch is a small thing? And he puts his head back. So, okay, so we see it's not Pashat. There's something, some shidduch was broken up over here, and because of that, so now it's not, we see it's not Pashat. Fine, so the messenger went back to Rav Chaim Ozer and says, okay, we know what's going on over here. Well, he says, bittul shidduch, you know, and because of that, your daughter is sick. And he says, what? My daughter's 12 years old. What a bittul shidduch. Never went out with a guy in her life. What are you talking about, bittul shidduch? What are you talking about? It's not shayach. She never went out in shidduchim. She's 12 years old. He says, oh no, that's what the Chafetz Chaim said. He says, go back. He says, can't be. Fine. So he goes back to Radin. comes in again, tells thing, is what's going on? You know, the daughter never went out. How can it be? Betul Shidduch, this and that. Chavis Chaim says, I'm not talking about the daughter. I'm talking about Rav Chaim Ozer. Okay, messenger goes back, says, he wasn't talking about your daughter, he's talking about you. He says, you Betul Shidduch or something? He's like, uh-oh. He's like, yeah. So he remembered, he was a bachar, and yeshiva, and his father sent him to learn in Volozh and whatever, and of course he was one of the, you know, top bachram, and they made a shidduch, you know, for him with someone. And in the end, the shidduch got bottle. It didn't work out, for whatever reason, something, you know, didn't work out, and that was it. They each went their own way, and then, you know, they both got married, whatever. So, Chaim Ozer said, I guess I didn't ask Mechila. You know, I don't remember. I don't think I did ask a proper Mechila. I just said, you know, we went our own ways or whatever. But I guess it was not Pasha. And because of that, you know, my daughter's sick. And that. So he says, okay, you know, I got to do something. So first I got to find. Well, Chaim Ozer, the whole of Europe was, he had the tips of his fingers, he had connections everywhere. So it was not a problem. He was able to locate this woman. No, he found out where she lives. Now married, you know, and living in a certain place. So he said, fine, I gotta go there and ask her for Mechila. So he travels to this town, finds the house, and knocks on the door. You know, the husband opens up, he's like, oh, sees Chaim Ozer Grudzinski standing there. You know, he says, may I come in? And he says, yeah, sure, you know. He says, well, I'm actually here to speak to your wife. I says, wife, come in. You know, so comes in, and he says, she looks at him like very coldly and says, yeah, what do you want? And he says, you know, listen, I've come, I want to ask you Mechila, if you remember, you know, we used to be engaged many years ago, and I didn't ask you a proper Mechila, Elachura, and you know, I want to ask you Mechila. So she says, what do you don't have to ask me Mechila. He says, think I care? It didn't bother me, who cares? So he's like, okay, but still, can you moichel me? Like, I'm going to be moichel me. And she's like, for what? Something. You know. So again, we would have just walked away and said, okay, Baruch Hashem, she didn't care. But he saw that, no. She wasn't moichel. He had to be moichel. He needed that mechila. So he says, listen, my daughter's ill, and I'm thinking, the connection is probably because I didn't ask you mechila, so please, can you be moichel? He says, I don't want to be moichel. You listen, what you think, I need you. My husband is better than you are. I'm more happy with him, and I don't need you. I didn't need you, and I'm perfectly happy. And then, anyways, he saw that Mina Shemayim was meant to be, that this woman was not going to give him mechila. He saw it. It was not happening. And he saw it was Mina Shemayim. So he said, okay, Mina Shemayim. He left, went back home. And his daughter right now is like very, very ill. And till she was mamish on her last leg. Mamish like goses. And he said, what did he do? He went into his study and immediately started writing a whole bunch of tshuvas. You know, people sent him from all over the place, you know, Shilas, and from all over. And he was writing one after the other, tshuva after tshuva after tshuva after tshuva. And every now and then, you know, going checking on his daughter again, tshuva, tshuva, tshuva. And eventually his daughter was nifter. And they asked him, though, how could you have the presence of mind in writing, you know, all these tshuvas when your daughter is, you know, dying? And he said, listen, he says, I knew that any moment now I'm going to become an onen, Rahman al-Salam, and because my daughter's going to die. And then I won't be able to learn Torah. I won't be able to write all these tshuvas. And these people are waiting for answers. And they need the answer. I don't want to push them off a week. You know, I have to say shiva, whatever. And I, if I want to get out the answers before my daughter dies. So, and unfortunately she died as his only daughter, and that was it. But it's interesting, my addition, that we see that L'chura, he was like, he had a stickle, making a stickle tikkun, right? Because what was his avera? There was a lack of sensitivity, you know, to this woman. And in the end, he was made sure he was sensitive to all these people that sent him the letters. You know, he was sensitive to their feelings and how they're going to have to wait for tshuva. He didn't want that for an answer. So he made sure, you know, since he was sensitive to them and quickly wrote out these tshuvas before she died. But, you know, the lesson of here is obvious. You think, okay, you know, Moichel, that one, you know, what the cause? His only, lost his only daughter because of his not asking Mechila at the time, not to, just being a little bit not sensitive to the other person. I don't want to leave you on a sad note. So I'd like to share with you one other story that has a little happier ending. On the same same topic, though. So there was a bachur, his name was Katriel. And he was the son of Rav Shalom Shachna. Rav Shalom Shachna was a very, very wealthy, wealthy businessman. He owned forests all over Europe. Very wealthy man. And Katriel was a son, and he was a budding Talmud Chacham. And he got to the age of Ish Mekadesh, and, you know, want to look, they're looking for a shidduch. So, all the shachanim were, whoa, you know, chapping around, and just like, make a shidduch for Rav Shalom Shachna's son, you know, a lot of shachanis get. Anyway, so one shachan made a shidduch, and they found this, no, excuse me, I got the names mixed up. The name of the Katriel's father was Menashe. Shalom Shachna was the father of the bride, of the girl. So he was also a wealthy man, of course, and from Krakow, and they made the shidduch. So this girl's name was Miro. They set a date for the wedding. Everybody couldn't wait. They said, "Boy, what a spread is going to be! You know, he's too wealthy. You know, it's going to be the chasna of the century." You know, but what happened? As things turned out, this Shalom Shachna, the bride's father, he got into problems with money, and he ended up that he lost everything. And he became a poor man before the chasna. So, Menashe, of Katriel's father, said, you know, nothing doing. I'm not going to make a shidduch with this poor man. You know, he's not fit, it's beneath me. So the shidduch was memela batel, mavuto, and that was the end of that. Okay. So, this Menashe was back on the market, you know. So this time he said, the father said, you know, Menashe, you know, I'm going to take a little different approach. Instead of going for, you see what happens, you know, money here today, gone tomorrow, I'm going to find a daughter of a Talmud Chacham. So sure enough, Rav Avigdor David Natanson, his daughter was the shidduch for Katriel. They got married. So he's learning in Kollel, doing very well, steiging. Eventually, as his father was getting older, he kind of went into the business, you know, of the forest business, and you know, took over, helped the father here and there, until eventually, as the father got much older, he took over the business completely, until his father eventually was nifter. So that was that. However, one problem: he was married for 20 years, no children, and of course, big tsar for them. 20 years, no children. One day, he was going out on a business trip, and his wife said, "Listen, you know, you're going to Kozhnitz. Go to the Rebbe Mikozhnitz and ask for a bracha. We need a bracha for our child." Said, no problem. Goes to Kozhnitz, the Rebbe Mikozhnitz, and tells the problem. You know, he wants a bracha for a child. Rebbe closes his eyes and says, "I see there's a kitrig in Shemayim. There's a kitrig, something there. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what to do about it. But that's preventing you from having a child." She says, "So what should I do?" He says, "It's, you know, above me, you have to go to the Chose Milivlin. Let him deal with it." So travel to Livlin, go to the Chose. Fine. So anything, of course, for a child. He travels to Livlin, goes into the Chose. He hears, listens, sees, says, "Yes, there's a kitrug." "What's the kitrug?" He says, "Let me ask you a question." He says, "Were you ever engaged? Before this, you know, you got married to this, your wife now? Were you engaged ever before?" Says, "Yeah." Says, "And there's a, what happened?" Says, "Well, it was batel." Says, "Did you mevatel the shidduch?" So he says, "Yeah, well, our side did, you know, they lost their money and that." She says, "Did you ever ask her mechila?" So he's like, "No." He says, "Well, there you go. There you go. You know, you heard her feelings. Never asked her mechila, and that's it. 20 years married, no children." So he says, "So now what? Am I?" I said, "I'm doomed." He says, "No, you're not doomed. Just what's my tikkun? What can I do?" He says, "You have to ask her mechila." I said, "Ask her mechila? Oh, who knows? She's I'm sure married by now. Some other name, you know, family name. Where, what, who, when? Ah, how am I supposed to know? It's a 20, you know, more than 20 years ago. How am I supposed to know? Jose says, don't worry about it. I can take care of that. He says, here's what you do. 3 weeks from now, go to this town called Balta. And in that town, they find this woman who's selling little, like, baskets. They're selling little baskets. And ask her for mechila. Oh, okay. So, good. Okay. So he says, you know, he's starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, great. So he heads out, you know, early, makes sure he's there before, you know, there's like a market going on during that week. So he makes sure he gets there early. And he, you know, this is the daughter of, you know, Shalom Shachna, you know. So her name was Muriel, and he's asking around. Muriel, does anybody know where Muriel is? You know, selling baskets, that? No. Going out, he's running around like crazy. Day after day, going all to every single place, here, there, what, running all around. Nothing, nobody heard of her, nobody saw such a woman selling baskets. Nothing, near anything. He couldn't believe it. 3 days in a row, he's running like a Michigana. He's exhausted. Still not a certain sign, but he told me it can't be. He wouldn't make up the story. So he was sitting outside on a bench, totally exhausted. All of a sudden, it gets dark, clouds set in, and there's a big downpour. So he wants to get out of the rain, so he jumps up, and he runs across the street into a store just to get out of the rain. So he's standing there at the door, you know, waiting till just the rain stops. And all of a sudden, he hears one of the ladies, you know, in the store, the sales lady, she says, "You see that guy there at the door? See, he wants to run away. He wants to run away from me." So he turns around. He sees this lady selling these baskets. So he runs out. He says, "Were you talking about me?" So she says, "Yeah." "You don't remember me?" She says, "Of course. You're Muriel, right?" "Yeah, that's right." Says, and it says, "Oh, good, I found you, you know." He says, "Yeah, you found me, yeah. And you think it was so simple, you know, you ran away from me, it's why you're just like that, like I'm garbage, and, you know, without asking mechila, nothing." He goes, "Yeah, I know, please, can you be moichel me?" He goes, says, "No, you have to be moichel me." He says, "You know, I've been married, but, you know, 20 years, no children, and you got to be moichel me." So she says, "I'll tell you what. I'll be moichel you, but only under one condition." Says, anything. Says, "Okay, I know you're a wealthy man, you know, you inherited your father's wealth and everything. So I have a brother who lives in this certain town called Warblank, whatever, and he's having financial difficulties, and he has to marry off his daughter. If you help him out, I'll be moichel you." She goes, "Oh, so that's it? No problem. He's a wealthy man, you know." She says, "Great, thank you so much, whatever, okay." So it was a month journey, you know, in those days, a month journey to get to that town. He finally gets to that town and to go to the brother, you know, his name is Yehuda. And goes to the town and asks for Yehuda, the son of, you know, Shalom Shachna, you know, and they finds him. He goes, comes to the house. You know, knocks on the door, and at first he just, you know, says, "Oh, you know, I'm passing through. You think you can, you know, you give me something to eat or whatever?" He says, "Sure." He sits in. So he sees that, you know, he has this, like, sad look on his face. So Katriel says to Yehuda, you know, the brother, he says, "Why do you look so sad?" He goes, "Oh, he goes, don't tell me, you know. You know, you should talk it out. Tell me." He goes, "Oh, you know, I have this whole property over here, but I got in problems with it financially, and I owe money to the guy that, you know, his owner owns this whole area over here, and that's only part of my problem. I also have a daughter I have to marry off, and I don't have money for it, and, you know, I'm sorry." So he goes, so Katriel says, "That's what you're upset about? Tell me, how much money do you owe this guy?" So he has 200 adumim, whatever, that's a amount of money, 200 thing. So he says, "Okay, and to marry off your daughter, how much do you need for that?" So he goes, "Probably another 200. So he goes, "That's what you're sad about? 400? 400 the coins?" He goes, "No problem, I'll give it to you." So he's like, yeah, you're making fun of me now. You're making fun of me. You're going to give me all these things. You know, because don't forget, he came after Munzer. He didn't look like some rich, wealthy guy. Like, he came in like, oh, you know. So he said, he didn't look like Sam. So he said, yeah, right. You know, he laughed at him. You're going to make his. No, no. He says, I'll take care of it. I'll give you the money. So he says, yeah, right. What are you going to do? So he says, okay, let me let you in on it. He says, I'll tell you the story. He says, I used to be engaged to your sister, Miro, you know. He says, do you remember what she goes? He goes, yeah, I remember. She was engaged once. He says, you met the chassan? He says, no, I myself was already married at the time. I never. He goes, well, that was me. He says, you? He says, yeah. And unfortunately, you know, we broke up. I didn't give her proper mechila. And Nebuch, I was married 20 years. I didn't have a child. And now I needed her mechila. So I went to her, and she said, if you help my brother out, I'll give you mechila. So the brother says, Yehuda says to him, oh, now I know for sure you're pulling my leg. He says, why? He goes, my sister. My sister is not alive. She died 15 years ago. He says, what? He says, yeah. She says, she died 15 years ago, my sister. You got mechila from my sister? He goes, yep, I got mechila from your sister. Maybe she died 15 years ago, but I got mechila from her. He says, what are you talking about? Anyways, he described exactly how she looked or whatever, you know. And he said, that's my sister. So what happened? The Jose Milublin, to help out this guy, brought this woman from the next world here in order that she can be moichel him, give this guy mechila, and so he can have a child. So he got the mechila from her, he gave him the money, he gave him the 400 plus an extra 100, you know, extra, you know, gift there, gave him 500, and shalom, got the mechila, everything's good. Goes on his way back, he goes to Lublin, who has to thank the Jose after all, for all he's done, and goes back to him, and he tells him, you know, I met the girl, I gave him money, and he says, you made yourself a good deal there. He says, B'zrat Hashem, by next year you'll have yourself a boy, baby boy. Anyways, that's a shidduch story with Mechila, for the good. So, with that, I'll end tonight's shiur. And just have to remember that, as we learn from these stories, the importance of, which dates back to our limud from the parsha, from the Makalah, how a person has to be very sensitive to the other person's feelings, not take it lightly, a mechila, this, and yeah, it's nothing small, as we see from the stories. And since these are the times of Tikkun, of the Chet, of the Talmini Rabbi Kiva, they were not sensitive. So we also have to make sure that we are sensitive to each other. And so at Hashem, if we do so, Kadosh Baruch Hu should bring us Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mehirah B'mehirah.
Amen. Amen.